to welcome our guests, but particularly our guests who are here today to, now Mom, don't get everybody crying before you get going here. We love Brother Alec. Of course, he grew up here, and we're excited about what God's doing in his life. He will be leaving in August, going to the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and being training for ministry. And we as his home church want to license him, and we're going to do that today. But I want to take a moment to recognize all the family that he has here. If you're here today as family of Brother Alec, will you please stand right where you are? Okay. Amen. Mr. Lou back there. Now, y'all stay standing just a minute. Now, how many of you here today only because of Brother Alec? Some of you are visiting here today. I know there are some who are here today because of that. You stand. All right. Well, we're glad that you're all here. Please be seated. And I know that you'll be praying for him. And Alec, if you can preach to that crowd, you can preach to anybody. Amen.
I mean, they kept you.
That's right.
They'll keep you, you know.
That's exactly right, brother.
I'm just kidding.
So you come, and looking forward to the message God has on your heart.
Thank
Amen.
You.
God bless you.
Thank you.
I remember when you were...
Oh, there we go. I got about 10 of those already. So, well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see you guys. Y'all look good. Y'all look good. This is a day that I didn't know I was looking forward to till Brother Ken said, hey, you're going to preach and we're going to license you. I was like, I don't know what that means, but cool. I'll do that. I can talk to people. And so it's been a fun process trying to figure out what to talk about and everything. And, but first Brother Ken told me that I need to share my story. And so I figure I should start by introducing myself. My name is Alec. I'm Alec Stackley. I assume that most of you know my mom. I would say I'm sorry, but she's incredible, so y'all are blessed to know her. Now my dad, I'm sorry. If you know him, I'm sorry. But my name is Alec. I'm 22. I am finishing up school at Memphis, I will graduate in May, and hopefully be on my way to Kentucky to start a job as soon as that ends. Just praying through that, trying to figure that out. I'll start Southern in August, and so that's the highlights. I think I'm big, as you all can tell. Most of you guys know me. If you do, most of you will probably say, I've known you since you were this tall, and you know, I can't believe you're the size you are, and all that. I think I get that every week, and so you know, but. You know what, let's take a moment and invite the Lord here, and then we'll get started. So, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come before the people that you've had in my life since the beginning. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to just get to share what you've put on my heart, share what you've done in my life. Lord, I thank you for the people that are in this room that impacted me. Lord, I thank you for the influence that they had, Lord, how you had them in my life at the perfect opportunities and the perfect times that you set to show me and teach me things that I didn't even realize I needed to be taught. Lord, I thank you just for how you're constantly working and moving. And Lord, I love you so much, and I thank you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So it's basketball season, isn't it?
Yep.
Y'all taking up the chairs every Sunday? That's always a good time. I was thinking back, and that's the first memory I think I have of this church is not basketball, but taking up chairs. You know, when we were down at Fayette Academy, I vaguely remember, you know, taking all those chairs out, but I do remember basketball. And first thing, if you're in that basketball ministry, either serving as a coach or helping lead the devotionals in the back, thank you. That ministry taught me a lot. That ministry taught me a love for the game of basketball and ultimately led me to some of lifelong friends in the sport of basketball. And so thank you. I know it may not seem like much, but that ministry does a lot. So we'll get to it. It was the summer before my fifth grade year of school, and I was at EKG camp, which is a camp that the kids ministry used to do, and Brother Ken was our was our special speaker that week. And, you know, it was a great week. That was my first real taste of what camp was like. And Brother Ken, I'll never forget, he was speaking on David and Goliath. And this was the moment. This was the moment I knew my size was going to follow me everywhere, because Brother Ken was up front, and he was like, all right, I need a volunteer to be David. And everyone's hands shut up. They're like, pick me. And even me, I was like, yeah, I'll be David. David's cool. David wins. I want to be David. And he picks someone small, and then he goes, he just looks in the back, and he goes, Alec, get up here. You're Goliath. I'm just like, oh, cool. I get to be the giant that gets beat. That's cool. But I knew at that moment that my size was going to follow me everywhere. But it was a great week. I remember it being a lot of fun. It was at Country Place. I guess it's what people in camp ministry call cry night. I think it was cry night, which is, you know, where the week's been building up, and then boom, big gospel presentation on the night, last night, and everyone's in tears, and it's just like, ah. And I got caught up in that, but it was because the Holy Spirit was in the room. And I don't really remember what Brother Ken said, if I'm completely honest. I just know that he was talking about something that I didn't have. And I knew that I was broken, I was imperfect, and I needed to fix it. And I knew that the only way to do that was to have a relationship with the Lord. And if I remember correctly, I had the honor of talking with Brother Ken about what that looked like. Tears rolling down my face, probably the most I've ever cried. You know, I'm only in, you know, about to go into fifth grade. I'm like, what, 10? Are you 10 years old when you're in fifth grade? Somewhere around there. I'm 10 years old. It's probably most I've ever cried. And it wasn't like a attention thing. It was just like I knew that I was lost. And so Brother Ken, he took me through what that prayer, what that looked like. I believe that is when my relationship with Christ started. You know, go through, you know, get to middle school, and I, you know, this, you know, the fifth grade on through middle school, I'm on fire. Like, it is just, you know, this is my faith. This is who I am. Jesus came, he died for me, and you can't tell me anything different. And anyone ask, I'm going to tell them. Even if they don't ask, probably going to tell them. One thing that most of you guys know is that I'll talk a lot. I like being the center of attention, as most of you know. I was more than happy to be that person that was on fire and ready to tell whoever. You know, I had all the clothes. I remember I had this one shirt. I had this one shirt that said, Jesus loves you. And it had small parentheses underneath it, and I'm trying. And that shirt summed me up in middle school. So if you knew me then, I'm sorry. I don't think I can ever apologize to you guys enough. I was a strange kid. But I loved the Lord, and I was on fire. And I knew that I wanted to be up here. I made connections and friendships up here in the youth group. I wanted to be up here every second there was. And then high school hit. And it wasn't that I was scared or ashamed, but it suddenly just wasn't cool to be a Christian, to be on fire. And I remember I didn't just back up. I didn't run away. I just faded. I just faded away. I just no longer was that kid that, you know, you could rely on to be on fire and to be pushing people around him. And so New Year's Eve 2011 comes around, and we're out in Gatlinburg at Extreme Winter. That was always a good time out in Gatlinburg. And Tony Nolan was speaking, and he was speaking on Matthew 7, 21 through 23. He said it was his gasp sermon. He wrote a book about it and everything. And without getting too deep into it, because I'm going to later, you know, it says that, paraphrase, is that there are going to be people that get to the gate and are going to say, you know, Lord, we did all this. I did all this. And Jesus is going to say, yeah, well, I don't know you. And Tony explained to us what that meant. And I just remember, you know, there are stories you hear people that are like, they're in the crowd and they say, I heard the story, or I heard the preacher preaching, and it was like I was the only one in the crowd. And up until that moment, I was like, well, that's weird. You know, there's 50, 60, 70 people in the crowd. How can that possibly be that way? And then that moment happened, and there was like 500 in the crowd, and I felt like every time Tony was speaking and he would look up, he was looking straight at me, talking straight to me, and I was just like, well, you're talking about me. I don't like this. That's conviction right there. But it was a great moment of just realization that I had faded away and that I was not living in a way that would push people to the Lord. And that was a moment where I said, never again. Like, I don't ever want to be like that again. And so at that moment, it was a refocus, and it was kind of a reset. And so, you know, that was, nothing was different from then on in high school. You know, I kept going. I was back to how I felt like I was in middle school. So everything was great. Get through high school, play a bunch of basketball, play a little bit of football, I go to school. The Lord blessed me with the opportunity to get to go to Union University for 2 years, and so I get there freshman year. I get involved in too much. I had to tell people no, and I learned what telling people no felt like, and I did not like that, so I learned a quick lesson there. Freshman year ends, and it's been a great year. A lot of fun, you know, picked up a fraternity, joined a bunch of great guys, learning a lot. And I finally get to do something that I'd always dreamed about, and that was be a staffer at a church camp. And I got to go be a summer staffer at Crossings Ministries at Cedarmore, which is the second location that they have. The youth here go to Jonathan Creek. And I got to go to Cedarmore, which is in between Louisville and Lexington. And, I'm sorry, that's a mic. it was by far the best summer of my life. And I got to see, I got to serve, the Lord in a way that I had never served before. I know that I'm going to Crossings, freshman year's ending, I get all A's, it's a good time. I'm at a high point in life. And I get to camp, and, with social media and everything, our bosses and returning staff were able to communicate to us newbies that, hey, you need a quiet time. You need to be making sure that you are spending adequate amount of time in the Word each day. And I was just like, at this point, I'm still pretty, very immature in my faith. I was just like, it's okay. If I can do anatomy and physiology too, I can do anything. Because that class about killed me, I'm not going to lie. But I was like, you know what? If I can do that, I can do anything. And so I get up there, and everything's going fine. We're 2 weeks in. We had training and everything. And my role was actually as a kitchen rotator. So 1 week, I would be in the kitchen serving there. And the next week, I would be a normal summer staffer. I would be out serving in small groups, like getting to lead a small group, and then serving in different activities and getting kids, you know, hype and loud and everything. It was always a good time. Back to the whole center of attention thing, I got to be that week, and so I was just like loving it. But the first week came around, and it was week one, day three. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're getting stuff ready for the shack, which was a concession stand that was open after evening worship. And that was an opportunity for us summer staffers. You know, the kids thought it was a time to play, but us summer staffers, I was like, that's our opportunity to go pull our small group kids out and have some intentional conversations with them. And they didn't know it was a trap. And so we were getting the food ready, and I remember it was about 3 o'clock, and I just got super, super, super sick, super nauseous. And someone came in, and they're like, yeah, you're done. And so we go back. I hop in the maintenance truck, and he takes me back to the trailers, and because they're about a half mile away from everything, because we don't want the campers to be anywhere near where we sleep and everything for accountability reasons. And so we're nice and far away, and the guy that's taking me back, his name is Matt Walkenhorse, and we call him Walker for short, because there's like three different Matts. And so, you know, everyone had a different nickname. Mine was Stacks, because there was two Alexes and an Alec. And I've grown up being called Alex, so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go by something completely different. And so he takes me back, and he looks at me and goes, Stacks, how do you rest here? How do you think that you rest here? And I said, well, probably go in and get some sleep. And I'll never forget, he laughed at me. He said, no, son, that's not it at all. And I'm like, son, you're 1 year older than me. And but he looked at me and he said, you need to go in and you need to spend time in the Word. And he said, I would imagine you probably haven't spent much. And I was just like, first off, who gave you permission to call me out like that? Second off, you're right. I hadn't. I had. I would spend time in the Word. I would get up early. I would go to the dining hall, and you know, while the other summer staffers were there, and I would open my Bible, and I'd just be like, "Oh yeah, that's cool, that's cool." And I just did it to fit in. I didn't want to look different. I didn't want to look weird. Occasionally, I'd actually read. But it wasn't that I was a heathen. It was just like my mind went everywhere else. I was just, I never disciplined myself enough to be focused. And so I went in, and it was just a very awful, exhausting process of the next 5 hours of lots of trips to see my food again. It was awful. That would happen. I would read. I'd fall asleep. Wake up, do it all again, over a process of 5 hours. And I went in, I read the devotional for that day, because they gave us a devotional book for the entire summer, and I read it. The camp pastor at Jonathan Creek, Roger Palmer, wrote it, and so I read that week, or that day's, and the reading was in Romans 3 and 4. And you can go and you can read it. I've done it multiple times. But all I read was, "You are futile without me. You are not doing this without me. You cannot do this without me." I've gone and read the devotional. I've gone and read those again, Romans 3 and 4 again. I did it last night just to make sure so I didn't sound crazy. But that's nowhere in there. And so either I was on something or going crazy, or the Lord was trying to speak to me. And I prefer to believe the latter. I just remember just feeling convicted once again that, like, I was not doing what I needed to do. And I remember praying just an absolute prayer of surrender. And it wasn't just like I want to have a relationship with you prayer. This was a take every single part of me, just absolute, complete, full surrender. And I remember praying that, and I remember saying amen. I saw my food one more time, and I instantly felt better. It was not a gradual, I felt awful, I threw up, I felt better. Right after I said amen, and I don't know why, I don't know how, but I felt better enough to put my clothes back on and almost go up to the kitchen and help them clean. I was like, well, if they sent me home because I was sick, they probably don't want to see me again today. But continue on from there, and the summer is great. Lots of laughter, lots of happiness, lots of joy. Lots of hard conversations, lots of tears. It was a very growing experience. You know, I talked with many different kids about, like, what they were dealing with and what middle schoolers deal with nowadays compared to what I dealt with when I was in middle school is incredible. Like, the difference is just frightening almost. And so it was a very growing summer. And I tell you that because I tell you that gruesome, gross story because I believe that was my beginning of the pull to ministry when I look back on it. And so I get back, and, you know, the entire summer I'm like, oh, yes, like, it would be cool if I could, like, do my clinical hours with athletic training, but then also, like, intern at a church. Like, that'd be really, really cool, you know, if I could do that, because I know I love both, and I'd like to do both, because this is so much fun. And we are starting kids camp, the most awful part of the summer, kids camp. Bunch of little minions coming up and just screaming, and I'm just like, no. It was actually a huge storm came through literally the day of the beginning of kids camp, and I was just like, that's a sign. We should never do this again. Because I was like, youth are one thing, but kids in this environment, no thank you. Kids in the water, I'm not trying to lifeguard that. Like, nope. So I got out of it. I did 2 weeks in the kitchen and then spent a week as maintenance. And so it was great. But it was a really, really bad storm came through, completely took, I don't know if any of y'all have seen pictures of the wreck lake at Crossings, but I think both of them have an iceberg, which is like a 25 to 30 foot, just big rubber thing that you climb up and then slide down. It looks like an iceberg. And this thing has like 60, 70, 80 pounds probably worth of weight holding it down in the water, 25 feet down because it's in the middle, so like it's really hard to move this thing is what I'm trying to say. Well, this storm came through literally out of nowhere and lifted up this iceberg and tossed it about 50 yards out of the lake, completely flipped everything over. And so I was just like, well, we can't do anything in the kitchen, so I'll go help them. And so I hop out, and there's a call on my phone. And one thing about Cedarmore is that there's no cell service anywhere. Somehow I got a call on my phone from one of my one of my fraternity brothers, Grant Allen, he had called me and he said, hey, there's an internship that I think you'd be great for. Here's the number of the guy, Cody. Call him, talk to him, and see what happens. And so I called and I accepted the internship through the next couple of days. It was a really cool process. And so I started and I found that I was loving every single part of this internship experience, this opportunity to get to do day-to-day ministry, not just, you know, camp. And I remember just loving it, and I remember starting to hate everything with athletic training. I got back early to help out with some physicals for the fall sports. I wasn't doing anything because I didn't know anything. I was just doing paperwork. But I remember getting there, and I was just like, I put on the athletic training polo, and I just was like, I hate this. I don't want to do this. And I was like, you know what? This is just me missing camp. It's fine. I pushed it away. I said, this is just me. This is me missing camp. This is me just wanting to do camp all the time. And so it's okay. Like, I just got to push through. I'll start to love it again. And I was finding that I was telling myself that every single day as I would drive to Lexington, Tennessee to do my clinical rotation, as I was driving to football games to do different things, going into class, taping class. I was so excited. I was going to get to learn how to tape ankles, how to tape shoulders, elbows, everything. I was going to get to learn how to tape everything. And that was something I was super excited for because I'm a very hands-on learner, hands-on and visual learner. So I was like, this class is going to be the class that I love. I remember going to that class, and I remember starting to hate it. And I was like, well, it's an 8 a.m. Like, you got to get up early. That's why you hate it. And I was starting to just fall in love more and more with church and with ministry. And I remember my quiet time started to take a turn to where I was no longer, you know, just reading. It was like every single thing was like hinting at going into ministry. And I was just like, I'm not going into ministry because I'm not giving up that much surrender to the Lord of my life, as if I didn't already do that with whatever because I'm following him. But, you know, it was just a moment of just me like saying, no, I'm not doing that. I remember this is a long process. It was about 3 months. And I always thought that a call to ministry was just like that moment where, you know, it's just like you're sitting there and then boom, a light comes down. It's just like, you, my son, have been called to ministry. I always thought that's what it was. And, you know, I was waiting for the dove to come down, you know, like whatever it might be. And that's what I thought. And so my quiet times are getting more and more crazy of just like, you are going into ministry. And I'm just like, I'm not going into ministry. I haven't been called to ministry. I haven't had this moment. And so I called two people that I really respected in ministry, and I said, hey, what were you called to ministry like? And both of them were like, well, I knew for a while that I was called to ministry, and the pull was slow, but it was there. And I accepted it, and that's kind of how it went. I was just like, that's not what you're supposed to tell me. You're supposed to tell me it was a boom, you're called to ministry. I don't want to be called to ministry. This is not what I want. And so, you know, that was on Wednesday. Thursday, I'm in the library. And I'm talking to a friend of mine whose name is Corinne, and she's telling me about this worship night ministry that she's going to start doing at Union. And she's like, I knew I needed to do this last year. She said, I knew I needed to do it, but I ran away from it. And I was just like, you ran away from something you needed to do? And you're telling me this the night after I get told that it was a slow pull to ministry? And she was just, and like, this is all going through my head. And she goes, you know, and I'm doing it now, and I know that I need to do it, and I just have a peace about it, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I know like that this is what the Lord has for me. And it was an awesome ministry that took off and grew and grew and grew. And it was an awesome experience every time because it was the first time that, like, you know, I think that some of the Union students that actually like go to like would go and worship freely instead of being forced to in chapel. It was really, really cool. And so I left that conversation going, okay, so she knew she needed to do something. She ran away from it, still ended up doing it. Cool. All right, you know, whatever, that's fine. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to hop on my phone to distract myself. And another friend of mine had texted me out of nowhere, and I had talked to them about how I loved camp and how I loved, like, Welcome Week, which is our orientation, which was very gospel-centered because we were at Union. And so, you know, I was telling them how much I loved it, and they texted me, and they're like, hey, keep your head up. You're doing great. And the text ended with, I really do see you called to ministry. I was just like, ah, cool, whatever. This is whatever. I'm going to bed. I'm going to sleep. I'll shake this feeling in the morning. And the next morning, I woke up, and I just remember looking at my Bible, and I just, one side was ministry, and one side was athletic training. I'm a very visual person, and I think the Lord knows that. And I just remember just looking at it, and I closed my Bible and I prayed. I was like, Lord, if I am called to ministry, make it known. Like, you know, if I am. And I remember I got done praying, and I prayed for all the things that I, you know, that was going on and everything. And I walked down two doors to Grant's room, actually. And I sat down, and I knew he was in there because all of his roommates were gone because they had class and everything. And he was in there getting ready, which meant he was spending 30 minutes on his hair because, you know, his mom was a hairdresser, so he always has the best hair. He's back there. You know, you guys should take a good look. It's right there. Sorry, Grant. I remember looking at him, and I was like, Grant? It's like, dude, I think I'm called to ministry. And he looked at me, and he goes, yeah, you are. And I just, in that moment, it was just the peace came over me. The stress left, the turmoil inside left, and it was clear that, like, that I was called to ministry. And since that moment, I've never doubted it. I've never questioned it. I've never worried about it. I always knew that I was called to ministry, and it's made more and more evident. Since then, I have had the opportunity to continue to intern at Inglewood. I transitioned into the high school ministry, got to spend about 7 months working alongside Grant. It was awesome. We made some cool videos, did some cool things, like one video of Grant in a dress for Valentine's Day. It was really awesome. I almost showed it, but it had no point, so I was like, okay, whatever, that's fine. It was awesome, and then I got to go intern at a church up in Hendersonville, Tennessee, meet more kids, learn more about ministry, and then went back to Inglewood, and it's been cool. There's been different ministry opportunities, different ministry settings that I've been in, and it's been a fun ride since that moment. There's been a lot of tears. There's been a lot of happiness. There's been a lot of heartbreak. I don't know if this will make sense to anybody, but there's just something about the kids that you get invested in, and it's just like, you need to get this before you go down this awful path. And it's like that feeling of just like, I don't know, there's just been a lot of moments like that, and then there's been a lot of awesome moments of the Lord's grace coming through, and those kids that you're super worried about coming to know the Lord and their lives completely changing, and it's just like the Lord absolutely affirming everything that you're doing. And so it's been a really, really fun time since then. And so that's kind of it. That's the story. I'm here now. I'm, you know, just waiting to see what's next. I'm getting to talk to you guys. This is super cool getting to see this come full circle, because I can't count the amount of Sundays that I spent in one of those two chairs right there, half asleep, because I didn't take this stuff serious enough. You know, all the different ministries that I was a part of, the youth ministry, Judgment House, putting a hole in the wall during Judgment House. Right as my mom took over as a church administrator, it was a good time. I was just like, oh, sorry. And, you know, Brother Ken always said, if we break this one down, we'll build a new one. So I took that literally that time, and, you know, it's just a good time. And but all the different ministries I've been a part of, the basketball ministry being in it and serving in it, the mission trips, South Dakota, just everything. I can't thank you guys enough for what you've done for me in my life. This was the only experience of ministry that I had until I left for school. This was, you know, it was awesome, you know. The people that have served in the youth group at some point, I know there are many of y'all, if you've ever been a Sunday school teacher for me, or ever, like, had me at your house, or try to throw me off a tube going however fast because you think it's funny and you make me lose my swimming trunks at Ken Barton, you know, thank you. Because I learned a lot from those little things from you guys, and I can never thank you guys enough. And you do not understand how the Lord used you. Honestly, I don't. I still don't. I just know that I look back and I have learned lessons from countless hours here, and I thank you for that. And so I wanted to wrap up with the one passage that every time I tell this story always comes up, and that is Matthew 7:21-23. And so I'm going to read it real quick. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. This verse absolutely just destroyed me when I first heard it, and then as it was explained and everything. And it's very simple, it's very straightforward of the fact that in this congregation, in this room right now, there are people that will go to heaven and they are going to say, Lord, we did all this. I shared a Facebook post. I went, gave money. I did something in the basketball ministry. I did this. I did that. I went to church. I did all this. And the Lord is going to look at some of us and say, I never knew you. Depart from me. And that's something that he's going to say to people because they don't have a relationship with him. You know, you can do all these things. You can serve, you can invest, you can help, you can give money, you can do all that. But if you don't do it with the heart for the Lord, with a relationship with the Lord, then you're not doing it for the right reasons. You're doing it for your self-gratification, for your self-glorification, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, don't do this stuff because you want to look good. You know, do it because you love me. I've heard it said this way. I go on up to Washington, D.C., and I go up, and I'm touring everything. I get to do all this stuff, and I get there, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop by the White House, and I get to the gate, and I'm like, oh, well, it's locked. I'm going to hop on over the fence, and, you know, Secret Service is going to be on me in a quick second. They're going to be like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, hey, I know the president. Let me in. You know, I've seen him on TV. I've shared different things. I've given my opinion about him. I've talked to different people about the president. Some of y'all may have even worn a shirt about him. I don't know, you know, like, and they're going to look at me and go, okay, your point is, does the president know you? And I'll be like, oh, I don't know, I know him. They're going to say, well, president doesn't know you. You don't have an appointment with the president. You don't have the credentials to get in, so we're going to kick you out. And that's probably the nice way of how that would go. But it's the same way with Jesus. We're going to get to the gate. Some of us are going to get to the gate. We're going to be like, hey, I did this. I did that. I preached. I led a small group. I stopped and helped someone with a flat tire and then said, hey, Jesus loves you. I left a track at McDonald's. I paid for the person behind me's meal. I did all this stuff. And so I should get in. And Jesus is going to say, well, I never knew you. So, sorry, but go on. And, you know, there's only two options when you die. There's heaven, or there's a very real place called hell. Jesus can't be with sin. Jesus can't be around that. And, you know, he's given us the opportunity to be sinless. And, you know, we can hear one of two things. We can say, depart from me. We can hear, depart from me. Or we can hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I personally want to hear the latter. That sounds way better to me. I want to spend eternity in heaven. That comes from having a relationship with the Lord. So I just want to ask you, you know, on that day, on the day that you get to the gates of heaven, what are you going to hear? Are you going to hear, depart from me? Or are you going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant? And as Alex and the band come up here, I want to give you guys an opportunity to hear what this means, what it means to have a relationship. You know, Jesus came down, and gave himself to be a perfect sacrifice for us. He lived a perfect life. He did not sin once. You know, that blows my mind personally. You know, I can't go 5 seconds without sinning because someone cuts me off in traffic and I'm just like, you, and I, you know, whatever follows. But Jesus came down. Jesus was tempted by Satan himself. Jesus was persecuted, mocked, and everything. And not once did he sin. And he lived a perfect life. And then he was led to the cross to die a sinner's death. He died a death that he didn't deserve. But he did it because he loved you. Thankfully, the story doesn't stop at his death. If it stopped at his death, all this would be pointless. Jesus died on the cross, went to the grave, was there for 3 days, rose again, and as he rose again, he defeated death, he defeated sin, he defeated sickness, he defeated hell, he defeated Satan, he defeated everything. He rose again, and now he has given us this opportunity to have a relationship with him. Romans says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all. There's no Greek word that says all, and then, you know, a couple people, it is all. And, you know, we are all broken. We are all sinful. We are all without Jesus until we come into that relationship with him. What that relationship looks like is a life change. You want to know if you've been saved? Well, one, you have a moment where it's like, yep, that's it. But two, you also see a change. You see a change in how you act. You see a change in what you desire. You see a change in everything. It's no longer a chore to come to church. You come to church because you want to be filled. You come to church because you want to fellowship with the people around you. You come to church because you want to hear what the Lord has for you. That's just one example. But the Lord will change your heart. And that is the biggest symbol, the biggest sign that you have been saved. And I'm not asking you to question your faith. Please don't. If you've been saved and you know you've been saved, then great. But also, one of the verses here says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only one who does the will of my Father. If you have been saved and you're sitting on the sidelines, what are you doing? Why wait? You know, there's a lot of places, I've been a lot of places, and I've seen everywhere, there's always people that they're uniformed, they did what they did to get in the uniform, they did everything, and they're just sitting on the bench. And the coach just said, hey, you know, the Lord's saying, like, hey, come on, and you're just like, no. One thing I wish I had done is I wish I had accepted my call to ministry sooner. Because I feel like I spent a lot of time missing out on other things because of how focused I was on running away. If you're saved, if you have a relationship with the Lord and you feel like the Lord's telling you to do something, don't run away from it. It's the biggest thing I'd ask you to take away from this besides the gospel is that the Lord has a call for all of us. So pursue that. Don't just go, you know, don't just, you know, oh, you know, I'll take one little step. No, go all in. You know, drop your pride. Do whatever you have to do to go. Because that was my issue. I didn't want to drop my pride enough to get called into ministry, to accept that call into ministry. So go, head first. Don't wait. You know, go head first into it and do it. And so if you don't have that relationship with the Lord, I want to just take this opportunity to lead you through prayer. I'm not going to give you the words. I'm just going to explain what you need to say because I want that to be a moment between you and the Lord that is genuine and not just you copying what I'm saying. But Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, that Jesus was butchering it, but basically, if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth that you're a sinner, then you will be saved. And so I want to give you this opportunity now. And so if you all bow your heads, Brother Ken's going to be here. I'm going to lead you guys through this. And if you pray this prayer, if you want to, you know, you want to respond in any way, Brother Ken is here. He'll be more than happy to talk to you. But the first thing that you need to do is if you want to have a relationship with the Lord, you need to admit that you're broken, that you need to admit that you're a sinner. You need to be like, hey, Lord, I suck. I'm messed up. I'm not good. I'm not who I thought I was. You need to admit that. The next thing you need to do is you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. You need to ask him to forgive you for all the sins that you've already committed, and you're going to commit more. Thankfully, his grace is never ending. But ask him to forgive you for your sins. And then finally, tell him that you believe that he is your Lord, and then ask him to be your Lord. Ask him to take control of your heart. Ask him to take control of your life. Yeah, don't just ask him. Give him control. Give him the wheel. Let him have control of your heart. Let him have control of your life. Because he wants that relationship with you. And so I'm going to pray for you. And if you have any responses that you want to make, Brother Ken is here. But if you have a relationship with the Lord, the time is now. We're in a war. We're in a battle with Satan. The time is now. We need as many people helping out. Brother Ken, he needs as much help as he can get in this church to help serve. Find an opportunity to plug in. Find an opportunity to serve. Find an opportunity to invest. Because you never know who's around. I would imagine that many of the people that invested in me would never have expected me to be up here. So please, I beg you, I urge you, if you feel a call, pursue it head first. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you.